Hello, bisexuals. Welcome back to another episode of The Bisexual Agenda. I'm your host, Kit Scales. Today, we have a mini bilemma episode. We only have two, and everyone's favorite Capricorn, Olivia, is here to share her wisdom. As always, all of the content warnings are in the description. The main ones to be aware of are we're talking about pronouns at work and possible instances of transphobia. And if there's anything I have missed, just message me on Instagram at the Bisexual Agenda Pod, and I will be aware of those for next time and add them in. So, God, it's Mercury retrograde. It's happening until October 17th. So if anyone wants to tell me about the crazy dreams they've been having or tricky situations you're in with exes, my DMs are always open. It's also very exciting because this is the 2-year anniversary episode of The Bisexual Agenda, so I'm really happy that I've managed to like do this for so long. And also, obviously, like in the pandemic, sometimes it is hard to schedule things and have a brain. And yeah, I really love it. It makes me so happy when people message me. I love it when you send in bilemmas, and it's really nice to have something like fun and creative and bisexual to do. I really enjoy it. So yes, thank you for listening. If you've been listening since the beginning, you are truly a real one, and I'm sending all my love to you today. So yeah, I hope you enjoy the episode. If you do have ideas for future topics, let me know. Ooh, yes, actually. So my next episode is going to be a mental health based episode, and I'm going to be speaking to someone from the Leeds LGBT Minds Project. So they are working together with queer people who are service users and professionals involved with mental health services in Leeds. So if you have an experience of like trying to access mental health services in Leeds specifically, and you want to message me about it, that would also be great. But if you also have general questions about like how to access mental health services in the UK, this would be, or my own experiences with therapy and things like that, now is the perfect time to ask, because I will be recording that in the next couple of weeks, just in time for everyone's seasonal depression to arrive. I hope you have a lovely Monday if you're listening to this the day it comes out. I hope you're surviving Mercury retrograde. If my friend Lauren is listening to this, you know that she often is victim to Mercury retrograde, so I hope she is surviving. I hope she's having a good time. If you want to listen to us talk about, well, bitch about boys for like an hour, I do have a previous episode called How to Survive Mercury Retrograde, which isn't really a guide. It is just us complaining about things that have happened and chaos in our lives. But yeah, happy October, happy Libra season, and I hope you have a good day.
Carabiner.
Did you say it right then? I think you said carabiner.
I tried it several different ways.
Carabiner. That just sounds like cowbunga.
Cowbunga?
I don't think I could wear one of them because I never have anything that has pockets or belt loops. Okay. Shall we go?
I'm ready, yeah. I mean, I'm already basically podcasting, but...
Okay. So, today, we're gathered here today with everyone's favourite Capricorn, Olivia. And it is also the 2-year anniversary of the Bisexual Agenda.
Happy birthday to you!
2 years since bisexuals were invented, and we've done so much in that time.
Only 2 years, wow.
I know. And it was recently Bisexual Day, 23rd of September, previously known as Bisexual Visibility Day, now celebrate Bisexuality Day, which I prefer, I think. It's less, like, niche and more positive.
Yeah, visibility has some problems.
It does.
As well as... Like, I think there's a limit on how much you can just celebrate just visibility.
Yeah, especially when we still don't actually have that visibility.
Yeah. And I think if the whole week is bisexual awareness...
Bisexual!
that's how I'm going to pronounce it from now on.
okay, we're calming down.
I'm not pronouncing words correctly at the moment.
I keep doing that as well.
I mean, I'm not sure I haven't pronounced words correctly, but I think given that the whole week is awareness week, like awareness is a better word than visibility anyway.
Mm.
because awareness, you can make aware the fact that some bisexual people might not want to be visible and some might want to be
visible. It's true. Also, but bisexual, like, the Celebrate Bisexuality Day is nice because that's not aimed at straight people. Because, like, bisexual awareness, like, bisexual people are aware of bisexuality, so it's more of, like, an outward thing to be, like, about the visibility or awareness, and it's more of, like, a includes everyone to say, celebrate.
That's nice. I think celebrate is, you know, it's like lift up the bisexuals and celebrate them, worship them.
Beautiful.
That's what we want.
Yes, we love worship here. So I did collect some pearls of bisexual wisdom from listeners. I think I will make some of them into a post. But someone sent me a nice message, which I think I'm going to read out, which people can listen to as a nice bisexual meditation affirmation situation.
That's cool. Let's hear some affirmations.
Let's get it. So, the person who sent it in is called Wynn. I'm not going to read out their whole at in case they don't want to be known. So they said, "My pearls of wisdom for the little bisexuals. If it feels like your sense of attraction is constantly in flux, like a magnet with shifting poles, that's okay. You can still be bisexual. If sometimes you're only attracted to one end of the gender spectrum, and other times you can't even think of being with that gender, that's okay, you're still bi enough. If it feels like your attraction to different genders is subjectively different in some way, the sensation of being attracted to some gender categories is different from the sensation of being attracted to a different one, that's okay, and that can be part of bisexuality. It's okay if you used to date one gender and now you never do. It's okay if you go through an only dating one gender streak. It's okay if you've never been in a same gender relationship, but you feel sure that if the right person came along, you would. It's okay if you're always doubting yourself, always confused, and always questioning. You are bi enough." I think that's very sweet, and that's good for lots of people to hear, and I think it covers a lot of bases.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we just need to be reminded that it's okay to be who we are. Every queer person I know has got that kind of shame.
Mm.
Some level of shame.
The queer shame. They should have Queer Shame Day. You know, like, when they're like, oh, it's gay pride and it's gay wrath. It should be gay shame.
Well, yeah, and we can just, like, scream about it. And just,
yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's nice to be reminded that whenever you feel that it's, you are queer enough. I think it's always good to remind ourselves of that. And maybe that's the best thing to do on Bisexual Celebration Day. Not sure I can get used to calling it that.
I know. I was like, oh, they've done a rebrand.
Who does these rebrands?
I don't know.
Who do they consult?
I just read it like a new caption and I was like, oh, are we calling it something different this time? Cool. Maybe it's because no one can go outside because of COVID. So they were like, we're not visible, guys, but we are celebrating.
I don't know. People are going out now. More.
Hate that for me. Okay, so which one do you want to start with from the questions? Okay, Bilemma is. And they've said, kind of not bi-specific, more of just a queer problem. That is welcome. Okay, I was putting my pronouns in my email signature at work, and on Friday, I got told by one of my supervisors that I had to stop doing that. Yesterday, they changed their tune and were like, you're allowed to put them in again. We see you and we support you. And I ended up having a talk with the head of our diversity committee, and it sounds like we're moving in the right direction, but very slowly. I brought up putting an option for putting pronouns in email signatures back in April and still haven't heard anything come out of that. What are your thoughts on staying at a place that you could potentially help move forward, or trying to find a new job where you don't have to keep going through this weird, well, you can't do that, wait, that might be discrimination, yes you can, but we're not going to talk about it as a firm. Yesterday when I was told I could start picking the back of my email again, I was told the board weren't ready to make a decision on pronouns in email signatures. Apparently they still haven't made a decision, but they've said I personally don't have to stop putting them in. But there's no announcement like, hey, if you want a new email signature, here's the template. So this is both a very specific and also not very specific dilemma, because it's basically like, what should I do about this one situation in my current workplace? And then it's also like, how much effort should you really put in trying to make your workplace better and better for queer people?
I think the organisation they worked for was absolutely dead wrong to stop them putting pronouns in their email signature.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, that, for me, is a personal choice. Like, if I...
It's like saying you can't tell people what your name is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, to me, it's like saying, oh, well, you can't put Mr., Miss., or Mix. Like, no one gets to tell you that. That's something you decide. Like, I personally would never ask my organisation's permission before putting pronouns in my signature. I mean, it sounds like that this person didn't do that either. They, you know, they just went ahead and did it, which I think is the best way. And then obviously the organisation basically fucked up and said, you shouldn't be doing that, which was wrong. And I'm glad they've since changed their minds. That being said, and I guess what I'm about to say next might be a bit controversial, I'm not in favour of compulsory put your pronouns in your email signature policies.
Yes, and I actually have to agree with that as well, because I think it puts unnecessary pressure on queer and trans people who might not be comfortable being addressed with their pronouns in their workplace. And a lot of queer or trans people aren't out at work or are out at work in like different levels and might be like, I use these pronouns for work because that makes my life easier and I'm not ready to try and like correct all my co-workers on a daily basis about my pronouns. And also, it's not something that you have to share if you don't want to, or make it explicit in your like everyday communications with people, because putting it in your email signature does mean it's like very visible to a lot of people.
Pronouns are obviously a personal thing. I certainly know people who use different pronouns in different situations, but I think for me the reason that I don't want to see compulsory, like, you must put your pronouns in your email signature policies, is because I use pronouns to think, well, if someone emails me and has their pronouns in their signature, I am instantly going to feel more comfortable with that person.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice to have a sign that, okay, this person's probably okay.
Are you basically saying, like, if someone puts their pronouns in their signature now, that makes you think, okay, they've thought about this, and yeah, they obviously are aware of pronouns as a concept, and that means I feel a bit more comfortable with them. And if it was made compulsory, you wouldn't be able to distinguish, yeah, between, oh, this person has been forced to give their pronouns in their, yeah, email signature, and they actually have no awareness of anything to do with trans, yeah, people or queer people.
It actually becomes a meaning... Once it's been forced, it becomes a meaningless statement.
It's interesting, because it's like, there's two sides of it. Because, like, practically, it's just, here's how to address me correctly. But it actually does mean more than that, because for, like, cis people, conversations about pronouns are actually really new. Like, even for queer people, like, I feel like I didn't actually, like, know about they-them pronouns until, like, 7 years ago or something. But, yeah, I see what you mean. It's kind of like, once something becomes, like, mainstream, it's hard to be able to work out the meaning behind it or the intention behind,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'd say that that is the case in most non-queer organisations. If you're working in a specifically queer organisation or queer space, I think then you can say, yeah, pronouns should be compulsory.
And also then it could be like, if you don't want to, that's fine.
Yeah.
This is the thing, it's like, if it's in an organisation where they have like no built-in like trans awareness training, LGBT training, like good diversity policies that actually are put in place, having people list their pronouns in their email signature is basically meaningless.
Yeah, it's like putting a, you know, it's like putting like a rainbow flag emoji on your website. It doesn't mean anything.
Or people being like, I'm an ally.
I'll talk a bit about where I work. It's not an LGBT organisation. I had a good feeling that there would be at least trans friendly when I applied for the job, because the equalities monitoring form was perfect from a trans perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, having volunteered for a trans charity, I've looked at lots and lots of terrible equalities monitoring forms.
Yeah, and by that you just mean like when it says what is your gender, it doesn't just, yeah, have man, woman, other, or male, female, other.
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond, like, obviously a gender question that just says what is your gender and it's male, female is terrible. But even beyond that, like, you know, ones where if it's like if it's digital, if it's online and it's a tick box, and, you know, you can either select man, woman, or trans, but you can't select both trans and woman. So, I mean, there's obviously degrees, there's like, you know, there's a lot still that have non-binary as an option. Whereas when I applied for the job that I'm doing now, it was if I'd have gone to them and given them advice on how to be trans-inclusive, mm-hmm, that what they had on their form would have been the advice I gave to them. And as far as I remember, their sexuality question was good as well. I'm sure I remember one where it was like, trans was included in the gender question, but non-binary was for some reason in the sexuality question. Like, I've seen really, really terrible ones that do.
They're like, does anyone know where non-binary goes? And they're like, oh, I don't know.
So, like, instantly, even before I got the job, when I was just applying, like, okay, they're gonna be, you know, someone's obviously told them that that's how to do it, right?
Yes.
You know,
they've thought about it.
Yeah. Like, that doesn't mean that I went in there thinking, wow, this organisation's going to be wonderful, they're going to be super trans inclusive, they're going to be really on it. But it made me feel comfortable enough. But no one at my work puts pronouns in their bio. What I have seen is some of the organisations we work with, I've seen that change over the last few years, and that's a good thing. Like, I would absolutely encourage everyone to put pronouns in their bio, if you want to. I just don't want to see it be compulsory. Like, my suggestion that I made to the organisation was do specific training. You want to do specific trans awareness training. You want to do anti-racism training. That's what you have to do. And that, even that, is only a starting point. Coming back to the bilemma, what I would encourage this person to do is pronouns in an email signature the thing you want to fight for? Or is a better, you know, is a trans inclusion policy worth, you know, what, if you're in America specifically, what are their policies on trans healthcare? You know, if, so it's like, that's what you want.
It's interesting because the person who wrote in said that they have this, like, diversity committee. So it's good that there are people that you can go to in your organisation, and it's not just you as an individual battling with other individuals. Because I think that's another thing, like, a company that has good policies will still have individuals that cause problems. Obviously, I work at a university and there is trans awareness training, which I got in one of my roles, but not the others. And they do have diversity kind of like training that you should work through. But also I've had like first-hand experience of them mishandling a discrimination complaint. And even though I would say more people than like even a couple of years ago are now putting pronouns in their email signature, that doesn't necessarily reflect anything about working at the organisation or the organisation as a whole and how it is for trans and queer people. And I honestly think it's like an easy win for companies that is kind of like, hey, look, we're doing the right thing. And if you dig any deeper, they're actually not putting anything practically in place to support trans employees or like customers.
An organisation can have a really good kind of diversity policy and still be structurally, you know, transphobic or racist or homophobic or whatever. Coming back to the bilemma, because I do kind of want to give this person advice. In terms of what advocating they should do themselves in order for better policies, only do what you're comfortable doing. And, you know, unless you're literally paid to do this, it's not your job to make the company you work for or the organisation you work for more inclusive. If you can volunteer to be on an LGBT staff network or something, the work that you do as part of that group, which would be advocating for better policies, should come out of your work time. You shouldn't be putting in extra hours, which you're not getting paid for, to make them look better.
And in terms of, like, what do you think about potentially leaving somewhere? I would honestly say, realistically, because of like society and because of capitalism, no company is perfect when it comes to these things. And the primary thing to focus on is like your safety. Companies do not have your best interest at heart, literally ever. As a customer, as a worker, they just don't. And I don't think there's like an amazing, perfect place out there where you could go and work. Like, there's better places, but basically all workplaces will have issues in this area. I don't want to sound too negative, but it's like every workplace you work in will have some kind of issues around this stuff.
I guess, like, I don't know whether the person asking this is cis or trans, because I think my advice might be slightly different if they were trans.
Yes, this is the thing. It's like, if you are trying to do it from a perspective of, I'm a cis queer person and I want to make my organisation more trans inclusive, and pronouns for me is not like a matter of safety, it's a matter of how I feel comfortable. That's different to, if you're trans and they said you can't put your pronouns in your bio, that literally is discrimination, and I would be like, fuck you guys, and I would be making a complaint about this supervisor, and I would be trying to move somewhere else, or I would be trying to make like a formal complaint. So it is different. And I would say, because I know you said like only advocate for what you're comfortable with, but if you ask this and you don't have like as much personal vulnerability in this situation as a trans person would, it is important that cis people advocate for things that are important for trans people, because then you're doing some of the work that trans people shouldn't have to do by themselves.
I mean, yes, you're right. I obviously want cis people to advocate for me, and for other trans people as well. Not just
for me, Olivia.
I mean, please do advocate for me as well. But it seems like this person, you know, they have actually achieved something. They have actually achieved change.
Because also, the conversation is now happening. Even if the board never comes to a decision, they have talked about this. It is in their awareness. When you have it in your signature, your colleagues can see it. Even if there isn't a compulsory policy, if your colleagues see it and they want to do it too, now that they know that they can and they can model it off yours.
First of all, they've done a good thing.
Well done.
Like, for me, if they were trans, I think if I was in that situation, I would start seriously looking for a new job. It would make me lose a lot of faith in them, even after they reversed the decision.
Yes. Well, the thing is, it's like, that could have just been that one supervisor. Is that just something shitty that one guy said because he doesn't know?
We don't actually know what other policies the organisation has. Like, do they actually have trans inclusion written into their diversity policies?
Yeah, I presume they do have a diversity policy if they have a committee. So it's like, maybe you need to have a close look at that. I would say, like, maybe work with the diversity committee, and, like, they can be really helpful for this. Because it sucks when you feel like you're the only person in, like, your team or your organisation that actually cares about stuff, and you always have to be educating people and they're always getting it wrong and you're always having to give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, that does suck.
Yeah, it absolutely sucks. It can be a very lonely place. So I'm glad that there's a diversity committee there. I'm glad that the organisation went back on their original decision. If it were me in this position, I would be advocating for trans awareness training. I think that's always the first step if there's been an issue of transphobia. And, you know, there's a lot to explain in pronouns as well. Like, there's actually quite a lot to explain, because you need to explain why people might use neo-pronouns. You need to explain why people might use they-them pronouns. You need to explain why people might use a mixture of pronouns. So they might use she, they, or they, he. I don't think that just saying you should put your pronouns in your bio is enough, because it doesn't actually explain.
This is the thing. Some people could still be none the wiser, and people could see someone's pronouns in their email signature and be like, I don't even know how to use that in a sentence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They gotta have stuff to back it up. Okay, I feel like we've rambled on about this one. Shall we move on to the next?
Yeah, it's a very anti-capitalist selection this week,
yes.
I think.
Perfect. And related news, Elon Musk and Grimes have broken up.
Yes, I hope they never get back together, but
Gemini chaos left and right.
He said semi-broken up.
I know, semi-broken up. What does this mean? And apparently he has, like, loads of kids with different women and, like, never pays the child support. I believe that.
I'm just waiting for the horrible stories to come out, or not waiting for the horrible stories to come out. I'd probably get sued for that one.
We'll cut it out.
Maybe let's not include that in the podcast.
Breaking news, Elon Musk has been cancelled by the bisexual agenda. Okay, so this kind of fits into the bisexual day situation. So, this is not a dilemma, I don't think. More of a musing, but I wonder if anyone else feels similar. I sometimes get disheartened during Bi Pride Week because a lot of the messages and posts kind of seem to focus on people in straight passing relationships, let's put that in quotes. Because everyone knows how I feel about straight passing as a concept.
Yes, every time we say straight passing on the podcast, we're doing air quotes that you can't see.
Which obviously we stand, and this is very important. But I think sometimes I struggle being bi and in a queer relationship. It can sometimes feel like you're experiencing homophobia from the straights and also biphobia from people within the queer community. And of course, internalized biphobia on top of that. Does anyone else feel like this? Do you and Olivia have any advice or thoughts? My girlfriend and I love you both. Heart emoji. Love this.
I like this. I mean, it's a bit of a kind of bi discourse question, I guess. Certainly that's what we're going to end up getting into. The reason that there's a focus on bi people in relationships with different genders,
mm-hmm.
is because those people are historically and still excluded from queer spaces, queer community, even being recognised as queer. And that is like kind of classic biphobia, right?
Yeah. Even just the sentence like bi people in straight relationships or bi people in straight passing relationships is like no bisexual person is in a straight relationship because they are not straight. Yeah.
And that relationship is still a queer relationship, even if one of the people in it is cishet, because one of the people in it is bi. I think this is where you can have a positive talk about visibility, because it's like, yes, those bisexual people that are in those relationships are in essence invisible, and certainly are not given visibility when we talk about queer relationships, queer communities, queer culture. And they should be. And that is why we have Bi-Visibility Day. That is why there has been a focus on people who are in those relationships. And obviously, like, it feels weird to kind of have the... There is no separation between people who are in relationships with different genders and people who are in relationships with the same gender, because I would imagine most bisexual people will have experienced both of those situations at some point in their lives, or will like go on to experience both of those situations.
Yeah, it's like only different from the outside. It's not really different when you are a bisexual person or dating people of different genders. It's not like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to be straight for a while. Do you know what I mean?
What I'm essentially saying is there's a perfectly understandable focus on those people who are in those relationships.
And I think it comes from a place of being like, here's a very clear-cut example of bi erasure. People in relationships that are assumed to be straight, and people who go about their daily lives and everyone thinks they're straight and they're not, they're bisexual. So I really get where a lot of that comes from. But yes, I would say I do agree. I have experienced like bi erasure while in a queer relationship, and it's most of the time come from straight people, because I think we're both really lucky in that basically most of the people that we're friends with and have like queer community with are bi-inclusive or bisexual themselves. So I haven't so much had the like gay people trying to like exclude me for being bisexual, and I haven't had like bad biphobia from gay people, but I have had like me coming out as bi at work and then talking about my girlfriend and then them referring to me as a lesbian, or them referring to me as gay. And I would refer to myself as gay, but when straight people do it, I know that they don't mean gay as in an umbrella term. They mean, I've conveniently forgotten that you're bi, because I don't really get that.
Yeah, and like, I definitely... It is the same erasure when you're in a same gender relationship, right? It's the same erasure, but it's just the opposite direction, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think... You know, it's not the fault of other bisexual people or of bisexual discourse that erasure is happening. And it's like, you know, you can't sort of say, well, oh, I feel erased in my same gender relationship, therefore I'm annoyed at other bisexuals who are in different gendered relationships because the focus is all on them. That's like a weird...
Oh, yeah, but I don't think they're saying that, because I think maybe it comes from a place of people thinking, if people see you as queer in your daily life, you need less, like, affirmation than maybe someone who is always perceived as straight. And that isn't the case, because, like, you can feel not seen in your identity regardless of your specific situation. Like, okay, a bisexual woman who's been in a relationship with a cis straight man for 10 years and is bi and is always assumed as straight. But then you could have the same bisexual woman in a relationship with a gay woman for 10 years and everyone thinks she's lesbian and keeps forgetting. And both of them don't feel good, because you're like, do I have to keep correcting you? Like, why don't you see me for who I am? Why are you making assumptions about me? And I do think a lot of stuff on like Bi Visibility Day comes down to like affirmations around dating or partners. And I think that's why we get a lot of posts about that.
I mean, it definitely does happen in queer communities, and I think we're, you know, we are in fortunate to be in a really bi-inclusive queer community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't even, you know, I've probably been guilty of it myself. You know, I've got friends who, for like, I was like, oh, they're such a great lesbian couple, because it wasn't until like a year after I'd met them that I realised, or I learnt, that one of them was bi. You know, that is something that happens. It feels like there is this pressure to kind of constantly, you know, you have to kind of assert that you're bi, whereas,
yeah,
like...
It's much, like, it's so much easier to... You can't really flag as bisexual. I mean, you can be chaotic and, like, wear lots of eyeliner and leather jackets, but, like, people, you could, even if you're like, oh, I feel visibly queer, you still might always... I don't know, I guess you can be more, like, assured, like, okay, I think people think are getting a gay vibe from me, but you can't think, oh, I bet people who meet me think I'm bi. It's just, like, any situation where there's, like, nuance or specifics involved easily gets glossed over. And, yeah, like you say, like, you can know two people in a relationship, and, yeah, maybe you wouldn't have a conversation where you speak to them individually and be like, hey, so I know you've been dating this person, but how do you identify? Like, maybe that isn't something that people are asking a lot of the time. And I think... in the queer community, maybe it's more of a, like, well, we don't have to have those conversations. We just, like, accept people how they are, and we try not to make assumptions about people.
But it could, that can be another form of invisibility as well.
Exactly, yeah.
And where I really empathise with the person who's written this is that I think sometimes queer community discourse can get focused on one particular thing, a good thing, you know, something that needs to be talked about, absolutely, but that can be to the detriment of other needs and other discussions that should be being had. And I think we do sometimes need to be better at, you know, bisexuality, it's a very diverse thing. It can mean lots of different things to lots of different people. And I think we perhaps need to be better at making space for all those different, all the different ways that bisexuality can present itself in the world, and making space for all those voices without it being, you know, some bisexuals against other bisexuals.
Yeah, and I also think it depends what kind of content you're seeing, because content that is geared towards straight people trying to educate them about bisexual people is different than content that is made by bisexual people for, like, fun for other queer people. Honestly, I feel like this person should make some bisexual memes about this, and maybe your bisexual friends will see them and be like, yeah, that's right, you know? Sometimes you gotta fill that niche, and I think it is something that's, like, once you find a good bisexual community, or, like, I don't know, find a cool bisexual meme page, and you're seeing stuff that, like, isn't the same stuff you see every day. It's like when you follow all the, like, really normie astrology accounts, and they're all just like, oh, Tauruses love naps and Leos love doing their makeup or whatever. And then you find the really great niche astrology account and you're like, finally, we're not getting the same stuff every day. So sometimes you just need to, like, find the right thing to see. When you've seen it all before and you already know all those things and you're not newly out and you are looking for, like, a more nuanced discussion about bisexuality, Instagram infographics on Bisexuality Day are maybe not going to cut it for you, and that's okay.
Yeah, and, you know, it's okay to, you know, a little meme on Bisexual Visibility Day that's about, you know, giving visibility to bisexuals who appear to be in quote-unquote straight relationships. Like, it's okay that that misses out the bisexuals who aren't in those relationships at that particular moment. Like, that's okay. Not everything can include, you know, not everything can include everyone and, you know, every one of us. You know, in the same way that, you know, you want posts about trans bisexuals and you want posts about, like, bisexuals of colour, and, you know, not everything is going to include everyone, but we want a you know, we want enough things so that everyone is included.
Yeah, I think it makes sense when you're, like, tired of seeing the same stuff all the time, but sometimes that just means you need to look in different places. And I will try and think of, like, cool bisexual books I can recommend and, like, link, because it is interesting when you read something that isn't just so basic and isn't, like, just, like, a one-liner. Like, it is nice to read. And that's why I liked the Bible, like, anthology that has had different stories, because it covered, like, so many different things. And it's, like, okay, all these people are bisexual, but some of them are talking about dating, some of them are talking about disabilities, some of them are talking about religion, some of them are talking about family, and that's really cool. I like that.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a whole great history of bisexuals within lesbian communities, not always being accepted by lesbian communities, but there's a whole great history there. I don't know as much about bisexuals in gay communities, but I imagine there's also good history there. Funnily enough, I went on, there's been a queer history walk organised by a friend of ours.
I'll post that as well. If you live in Leeds, you can go on a queer history walk.
I think they might have finished for the winter now, but you probably have to go next summer. But there was an interesting little bit of history about the first bi community group here in Leeds, where we went to the kind of pub where they first met. And it wasn't a queer bar, albeit it's got a history with the kind of arty community, which I guess is sort of queer adjacent. But then the group ended up splitting because the men in the group wanted to meet at a gay bar and the women didn't. Because, probably at that time, gay bars might not have even accepted women.
What time was this?
This was like late 80s, early 90s. And I found that very interesting as a little historical anecdote that, you know, what can easily become divisions in a community, if you only focus on the needs of sort of one part of the bisexual community, you can end up quite easily creating divisions unintentionally. And, you know, that's not me sort of slagging off those people who were organising that back in the day, but I think that's where you've got to try and, you know, if you are going into this discourse, you know, keep it. Yes, it doesn't have to include everyone because it can't always. You know, you want discourse that focuses on bisexual men. You want discourse that focuses on bisexual women. You want discourse that focuses on non-binary bisexuals.
Yes, I think it's okay to feel not represented. And honestly, that is just a big bisexual mood, because when are we getting great, amazing, diverse, varied representation? We just really aren't. So yeah, maybe you need to make some of your own posts or find some better people to follow on Instagram. I think that's all good. But yes, you will not be the only bisexual who has felt this way. Olivia, I'm going to read one tarot card for you. And we haven't done tarot for ages.
No, we haven't.
So this will be nice. Hopefully you won't get a classic Capricorn Pentacles card.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like my life is maybe moving away from the typical Capricorn cards that you might expect.
Hopefully.
So let's see what I get.
Nice.
Justice.
Ooh, okay. I mean, I'm just happy it's not a pentacle. Let's see what it says in the little book. Okay, justice, balance, fairness, karma.
Okay.
I feel like this is actually relevant to Mercury retrograde, because I think that Mercury retrograde is a great time of, like, karma and justice, and like things seem to cycle back round and get resolved. And obviously that's shit for some people, but also good for some people.
I guess I take it that I am a sort of fair and balanced person, not in the Fox News way. That's how I kind of
You are
take
fair
it.
And balanced. You'd be a good lawyer.
Oh god, I'd hit
But you'd have a lawyer. Fucking breakdown. You'd have a breakdown at like 30 and you'd never be able to work again.
I'd have a problem being a lawyer, because if I was going to be like a defence lawyer, I'd only want to defend people who were innocent, and I would never want to be a prosecutor because I don't believe in prisons.
Yes, so. You'd have to be a lawyer that, like, I will let every single person off every single time, but then I feel like they'd be like, something fishy about this one. Or you'd have to only defend super innocent people.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I feel like I read this one out fairly recently, but I can't remember who to. So we're reading from Crying the Tarot by Cassandra Snow, which is our trusty tarot book. So she says, justice is usually interpreted pretty much the way you'd expect. The card is considered to embody balance, fairness, cause and effect. According to many interpretations, honesty is essential when justice comes up. Those who are honest, even if they're wrong initially, succeed when this card arises. It's easy to then queer this card by recognising that many of the legal systems in place in our society are oppressive to queer people, especially transgender people who have to wade through frequently insurmountable red tape to live their lives they should be able to. A queer reading of this card would acknowledge that in spite of universal truths of fairness, the literal mundane law and justice may not be on the queerant side at all, and advice should come based on this information.
An alternative but related querying of this card invokes the heart of the card separate from oppressive legal constructs. It evokes what many of us who are queer know to be true. The law and its interpretation aren't always just. Social justice is frequently indicated here for queer clients. And when this card is received, one may be receiving a call to pursue an activist role. I feel like I'm always like Cassandra's always being like, Olivia, maybe you should be an activist.
Yeah, I mean, I used to get like this card or similar cards a lot, didn't I? And it was like, no, I've just
that was when you were trying to
being an activist.
Like, Olivia's tired. She works too hard, guys.
Like, I'm burnt out. I don't need more activism.
True justice does tend to prevail in the long run with the Justice card. Fighting for what we know to be right and fair is well aspected here. This card could also be a simple call to balance one's personal and professional life with a more engaged community role. At its core, justice is about honesty, and if it shows up for a timid client, it could actually bring good news when the querent speaks their truth.
Okay, that sounds like me.
That does sound like you. You could be a timid client.
I am generally a timid person until someone gets on my bad side. And
I've never witnessed that.
You've seen it when I've come to your assistance, but not...
Okay, like, yeah. But even then, you're like venting in a very like diplomatic way.
Oh yeah, but it's a diplomatic way that absolutely destroys my enemies.
Hilarious. Okay, well, I feel like this is positive because I feel like balance, you have been working very hard to have better habits in your professional life, let's put it that way. And this kind of shows
it's true. I have, and I am trying to get better balance between my professional life and my personal life. It feels like this card is maybe a sort of summation of the last year or so and what I'm looking to do going forward.
Do you want to have one more? Are you feeling positive with that one?
We can do one more if you
want. We could do one looking to the future.
Okay, yeah. Look to the future. Wow. These are such typical cards for
me. What is it?
It's the King of Swords.
The King of Swords. 181, let's see. Yeah, I feel like you have a bit... Yeah, you get a bit stuck with the same cards. Interesting. One of Cassandra's least favourite cards. It says... Contrary to a Queen of Swords, the King is often seen as lacking compassion. This is someone so intellectually driven that the only thing that they can see is that their way is the right way. This is someone so eager to rule that they'll gladly step on other people to get there. This is like Olivia's evil counterpart.
It is like my like dark fantasy side. Like this is just Cassandra just dragging me basically. Yeah.
This king is peak air, cool, callous, and so sure that what they're doing is for the greater good that they're willing to rule out empathy. This king is not all bad, though few things in the world are. If you need to make a decision for you, this card shows up urging you to think about your own best interest and cut away anything that is unnecessary or damaging to you in the process. Sometimes we need a shot of intellect to remind us not to get totally lost in a rush of feelings or passion. This card can very easily be about clarity and finding peace. It can also tell you to own your power in a given situation. Okay.
Wow, these two cards make me feel like I'm going to have to speak some truth to power in the near future.
Yeah, what the hell?
it's weird because I do pull, like, swords cards of lot.
Yeah.
And I feel like I like the Queen of Swords, the King of Swords.
Yes.
It's not really me because it's... I think it can be true that I might appear to lack empathy, but I actually have a lot of empathy. I think it's just because I'm a very dour, straight-laced Capricorn that my empathy doesn't come across.
Let's see. Okay, she's basically saying if you're battling against, like, systems and things like this, it's a worthwhile fight, but it might not end well. Interesting. Yes, the Tower promises big dramatic change, but the little by little, step by step are just as crucial to creating real and sustained change, and that's what the King of Swords can bring if we let them. Interesting. We can choose to use our free will to learn from these experiences, sharpen our swords, hone our fight skills, and eventually cut it all down. Olivia's gonna become like a trans superhero.
I already am a trans superhero.
I've never seen your super suit. Is it because it's in the laundry?
It's just at the bottom of my laundry basket. It's fine.
Okay, well, wow. Big things are happening for you.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for a quiet few months. Thanks.
Yeah, I thought this might just be a nice, cozy little reading, but okay, maybe not. Okay, so we're going to do a joint by agenda for
this episode.
2 years of the bisexual agenda.
Exactly. I don't have anything particularly insightful to say, but I tend to use my agendas as a general platform for just telling people things I like, rather than having any kind of, like, political aspirations. Do you want to go first, or should I?
Well,
yours is more exciting, so I think we should leave yours.
I think you should do yours, then I should do mine, then you should do your second one.
Okay.
Because we're doing that. You've got two.
I've got two. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
So my first one is bamboo socks will change your life. They have changed mine and Olivia's, I would say.
They've changed my life, and they've probably changed everyone in Kit's lives as well, since you've been buying them for presents for everyone.
Yes, exactly. So shout out to Emily, my sister, because she gave me this recommendation in the first place. But there's this bamboo clothing place. It's called BAM, and they do the best socks on earth. They're like cushioned. They're like so chunky and juicy and warm and soft. They're just the softest thing you've ever felt in your life. They're good for the environment. They're just amazing. I'll link to their website. This is not sponsored in any way. I will never get sponsorship for this show because it is unhinged. But yes, we love them.
They're great. I like them. I'm enjoying wearing them. I wish I had more.
Love it. Okay. I'm so pumped for everyone to hear this. Let's rock.
Okay, so my agenda is hashtag tea for tea. Your girl Olivia is dating as of like a week ago.
Hot off the press.
She's a hot trans woman and I'm a hot trans woman. And it's great.
Beautiful. Is that all you wish to share?
I think for the moment, I don't want to spoil anyone's privacy.
Yes, beautiful. But Olivia fans across the globe will be delighted to hear this news, I think.
Or maybe they'll be devastated to hear this news, I don't know.
Yes, well, anyone who's been secretly in love with Olivia, you just miss the window. Only comes once every few years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happily taken now.
Wow, incredible. Incredible work. And then my final one is a podcast recommendation. It's called Wait, Is This a Date? And it is by Drew Gregory and Christina Tucker. Christina Tucker used to do a podcast called Unfriendly Black Hotties that I really liked. And now they are doing, this is like an auto-straddle podcast. So they have writers from auto-straddle on as guests. And they're both lesbians. Drew Gregory is like a very film lesbian. Basically Olivia, just like American and curly hair.
Drew Gregory is just like my more famous alter ego.
Yeah, like if Olivia was more confident and had big hair.
She's a Capricorn, she's a trans woman, she writes about film, she works in film, like she is me.
Yeah, exactly. Incredible. And you both have a Leo moon. So we just need to know Drew Gregory's rising sign and then we can just like confirm that you were like created with the same powers.
It's ridiculous.
If you have dating dilemmas, I feel like this is a great podcast that people would like. It's really like chill. They've done like first dates, sexting, like long-term relationships, when to break up. They've done all the different episodes and they do a little fun game at the beginning and then they do their crush of the week at the end. And it has a good theme song. Like it actually is good, which is incredible because most podcasts have terrible ones.
But that's because they can probably afford music.
Yes. I think they've like had a song made. I love it. But yeah, I'm always up for like more podcast recommendations because we are trapped inside majority of the time and I get bored when I don't have things to listen to. But yeah, love it. And I have missed having a Christina Tucker podcast. That's all I have to say for today, I think. Do you have any final notes to add?
I don't think so, other than just to say well done on 2 years of the bisexual.
Oh yeah, if anyone wants to make me happy, they can leave a positive review of the podcast on Apple Podcasts or you can share with your bisexual/queer/straight friends and get them on the bisexual agenda.
Yeah, we want to convert all your straight friends.
Yes, exactly. I think I only have one remaining straight friend and it's like, wow.
Well, my straight friend is now wearing a carabiner.
Yeah, so it's happening quicker than we think. Below our noses, beneath our noses, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's happening literally beneath my nose.
And thank you to Olivia for getting me a tiramisu today. I'm so pumped. Yum, 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 my favourite dessert. That can be my 2 year present.
Yeah, tiramisu tonight.
Exciting. Okay, love you guys. And I'll see you in a month's time. And you can always message me if you have topic suggestions because sometimes my head has no ideas. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well done, we did it.